ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to the Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
You know, I had a couple Jehovah Witnesses come to my door a few weeks ago and hand me some information on, you know, why there's pain and suffering in the world. And they asked me if I would read it. I said, sure, I'll read it. And they said that they would come back. And, you know, as I'm reading this, I'm going, oh, this is great. You know, there's nothing about Jesus in here. So all about pain, yeah, okay, but who's the one that can ease our pain, comfort our hearts? It's Jesus. And why do they leave Jesus out? Because it's all about him. You look at, and I challenge you to do this, look at the cults today. Every one of them denies the deity of Jesus Christ. Why is that important? Because Jesus said in the Gospel of John, if you do not believe that I am, you will die in your sins. It's pretty serious. So they attack the deity, and they make him a lesser god or the brother of Lucifer or whatever. They just don't have faith in the true and living God. And there's a lot of people out there who put their faith in all kinds of things. But in the end, you know, it's kind of disappointing. You know, you probably heard this story before from me, but many years ago in the New Yorker magazine, there was an account of a Long Island resident, and he ordered this very expensive and sensitive barometer from Abercrombie and Fitch. Very big company, right? And the instrument arrived at his home, but man, he was so disappointed. And the needle on this instrument was pointing to hurricane. Well, it drove him crazy. He shook it. You know, that's not something you really want to do with a sensitive device like that. And it never moved. It stayed on hurricane. So he wrote this scathing letter to the store, and on the following morning, on the way to his office in New York, he mailed it. Well, he returned that evening to his Long Island, to Long Island, and he found that not only the barometer was missing now, but his house was gone, because that needle pointed correctly. The month was September, the year 1938, and the day of the terrible hurricane that almost leveled Long Island. You see, the information was there. What was the problem? He didn't believe. And that's a lot of people today. The information is all here, but they don't want to believe. They don't want to read this. Why? Because they're afraid that this is the truth. And then they're going to have to make a decision. I've seen it so often. People will put down the Bible who have never read the Bible. You know what they've read? The comments of other people. That's meaningless. Read the Bible. Start in the Gospel of John or start in Romans. Read Mark, and I'm going to pray that the Holy Spirit opens your eyes. But just read it. You don't believe there's a God? You don't believe this is the Word of God? You read it, but be open to what God is showing you. It is kind of amazing what God does, isn't it? For Cain, did he have all the information? Absolutely. Where did he get it from? His mom and dad, right? Adam and Eve. They walked with God. For how long? I don't know, before sin entered the picture. But they walked with God. So they passed the information on to their children. They knew all these things. Abel knew, and he believed by faith. But Cain didn't, and judgment came upon him. And judgment comes to those who don't believe. Psalm 78:22. Because they did not believe in God and did not trust in his salvation. Yeah, judgment comes. And the way of Cain is simple. It's unbelief. Look at next that They have run greedily in the air of Balaam for profit. Wow. A heir of Balaam. You could read of his story in Numbers chapters 22 through 25 and chapter 31. And the way you can remember about Balaam, Balaam was a for-profit prophet. He was very interested in money. That was his big thing. And the king of Moab, Balak, hired him to curse the children of Israel because he was afraid of the children of Israel coming in and destroying them. He had heard the stories about them. And so Balak hired him, curse the children of God. What's interesting is God said, Balaam, don't go. And what did Balaam do? He wanted the money. And God said, well, fine. If you want to go, go, but only say the words that I give you. Nothing more, nothing less. So he did that. He spoke forth four blessings upon the children of Israel. Balak kept moving them to different areas. Okay, try and curse them from over here. And he couldn't. He just spoke forth these blessings. So Balak is just furious. He hired Balaam to curse the children of Israel, not bless them. They don't need blessings. They wouldn't need a cursing. So Balak's not getting what he wanted from Balaam. Do you think he's going to pay him for this? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. What would this prophet do since he's losing money now? Again, that's his whole premise here, is to make money. I believe he told the king of Moab how to get God to curse the children of Israel. In Numbers 25, verses 1 through 3, I think we get the picture. Now Israel remained in Acacia Grove, and the people began to commit harlotry with the women of Moab. They invited the people to their sacrifices of their gods, and the people ate and bowed down to their gods. So Israel was joined to Baal of Peor, and the anger of the Lord was aroused against Israel. How'd this all play out? Listen carefully. The women of Moab came before the men of Israel and seduced them, enticed them to sin. You know, they were all dressed up, wearing their short little skirts, whatever they wore in those days, you know, makeup to the hilt, and the men of Israel fell for it. And many of these pagan religious practices were centered around sexual immorality, and as they got the children of Israel to have these sexual relations with them, it was based on the worship of their gods. So Balaam could not curse the children of Israel. He got the children of Israel to move away from the blessings of God, and actually they were cursing themselves. And was God angry at them? Yeah, absolutely. 24,000 Jews died in this plague. Those that were the leaders were to be hung in place for all to see. And they joined themselves to Baal of Peor. Who were they to be joined with? God. But look at what this did to their lives. The word joined is a Hebrew word that speaks of being fastened or linked together. Here's the key. Light and darkness cannot coexist or should not coexist. We should not be joined together. And it's really hard to try and be joined together and still serve the Lord. Paul in 1 Corinthians 6 plays it out for us in verses 15 through 20. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body. But he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you are bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. What have we joined ourselves to? That's the big question. Are we joined to the Lord? Now, I know the world, there's a lot of temptations pulling us all over the place. But stay focused upon the Lord. This whole incident here with Balak and the children of Israel, who gave Balak this plan? Well, I think it was Balaam. Because in Numbers 31:16, we're told this. look, these women caused the children of Israel through the counsel of Balaam to trespass against the Lord in the incident of Peor, and there was a plague among the congregation of the Lord. We're told right there that this counsel, this information that was given to Balak was done by Balaam. I can't curse them, king, but I know how they can get cursed. So show me the money, right? Revelation 2:14, Jesus tells us in his letter to the church in Pergamos, but I have a few things against you because you have there those who hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols and to commit sexual immorality. There again, we're told that Balaam gave Balak this information on how to get the children of Israel cursed. And it worked then, and it still works today. We got to be careful. You know, people, for Balaam, he wanted to make money, make a profit, and he did it at any cost. That phrase, run greedily, literally means to be poured out or to stampede toward. That's what they're moving towards. You know, it's you could see it with the televangelists on TV, how they're always asking for money. How sad. You know, a few years back, and I don't know if I recently told you this or not, but I got this prayer rug. And I was supposed to put this prayer rug down and kneel upon it and make my prayers. Sadly, it was a prayer piece of paper. It wasn't even a rug. And it was only this big, so I don't know how big they thought I was. I'm not a big guy, but, you know. And then they said, and if you could send it back with a donation. You're asking for a piece of paper back? Are you kidding me? But why are they doing this? To make a profit. I'll just put a warning out there. There's been a lot of really, really good Christian movies put out recently that made lots of money. Be careful now, because there will be those who will be making movies and put the Christian stuff on it, tags on it, to make a profit off of God. I mean, we've seen it with so many books, you know, over the years. You know, there was the book, The Prayer of Jabez, which I'm not going to go into details with, but then, you know, there was the prayer of Jabez for kids, for newborns, for a prayer of Jabez for kids who are still in the womb. I mean, they had everything for them. Prayer of Jabez. Why did they keep doing that? To make money, to make a profit. I do not want to make a profit off of God and one day have to stand before him. You know, we try to give God's word out as much as we can for free. All my notes, all the videos, all the audios are on the internet. You could just download them. They're there. Why? Because these aren't mine. They're God's. But people, wow, they stampede forward to the heir of Balaam for profit. And again, he was a for-profit prophet. And having money is not, there's not nothing wrong with having money. Money is nothing. It's a piece of paper or whatever, right? It's the love of money that causes people to do all kinds of evil things. I'll give you just an idea of where some of these guys are at, and this information is out there. Guess how much Kenneth Copeland is worth? Just guess. 20 million? 30? 50 million? $760 million. How much money do you need, right? You're serving God. Benny Hinn, $42 million. Jesse Duplantis, $55 million. Joel Osteen, only $40 million. Creflo Dollar, $27 million. And what do you hear? You hear them begging for money. If I ever beg you for money, just shoot me because my time is over, really. There's no point to really continue on. As far as I can tell, and I've, you know, read Genesis to Revelation many, 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 many times, God's not broke. He owns everything. He doesn't need anything. Once in a while, I'll let you know if there's a need or something's going on, but that's it. Because God is not broke, and I'm not here to make a profit. I'm here to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world and to build you up in the faith, to teach you the things of God so you can go out and do the work of the ministry. That's the bottom line. But again, Christianity is a moneymaker, and you just have to twist things a little bit. I don't want to hurt anyone here, but, you know, the whole Chosen series. I'm sorry if it offends anyone, but sorry. I cannot watch it. I've never watched it, actually. And one of the reasons is because they twist the scriptures. They have a Mormon on board writing this stuff. And one of the things that Jesus said is, in this series, is, I am the law of Moses. And go, well, what's the big deal? Because it's from the Book of Mormon. It's not from the Bible. And when one of the writers was asking about, or one was asked about this, he said, well, Jesus could have said it. Well, yeah, then you could put anything in there, can't you? You could say, well, you know, Jesus said that, you know, the average height of men who are going to heaven will be 5'6", which happens to be my height. No, you can't put what you, if you're saying Jesus might have said it, then he didn't say it. He either said it or he didn't. Did Jesus say a lot of other words that aren't written in here? Absolutely he did. But we can't guess what he was going to say because the Holy Spirit has given to us the things we need of what he said. And we have to be careful with that. For Balaam, his desire was to become personally wealthy by making a business out of his service to God. And false teachers of today are very good at doing this. They speak out of both corners of their mouth at once. They suppress the truth in order to increase their income. And they're greedy, making the house of God a house of merchandise, just like Jesus confronted the Jewish religious people at the beginning of his ministry and at the end. The house of God is to be a place of prayer, of worship. You've made it a den of thieves, he said. And that's what Balaam was doing. How important was all this money? Well, it was pretty important to him because he went after it. How long did it last? Not long. Because in Numbers 31, verses 7 and 8, and they warred against the Midianites, just as the Lord commanded Moses, and they killed all the males. They killed the kings of Midian with the rest of the house who were killed, Evi, Rechem, Zur, Hur, and Reba, the five kings of Midian. Balaam, the son of Beor, they also killed with the sword. He was killed. So how long did he get to enjoy all that money? Is there pleasure in sin? Absolutely, or people wouldn't fall into it. But it's very short-lived, as we see here. And the way of greed, trying to profit off of God, you're not going to get away with it. That's what Judah's talking about with these false teachers. And the way of Cain was greed. Again, he was a for-profit prophet. Well, lastly, the last part of verse 11, and perished in the rebellion of Korah. The rebellion of Korah is found in Numbers chapter 16, and Korah was kind of this ringleader in a rebellion that also included Dathan and Abiram, and 250 others joined with them. And I'll just read Numbers 16 verses 1 through 3 for you. Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, with Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and An, the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took men, and they rose up before Moses with some of the children of Israel, 250 leaders of the congregation, representatives of the congregation, men of renown. They gathered together against Moses and Aaron and said to them, "You take too much upon yourselves. For all the congregation is holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Why then do you exalt yourself above the assembly of the Lord?" So Korah was upset. He was a Kohathite, but he wasn't content, wasn't satisfied with what God had called him to do. And you think, well, what kind of menial task, you know, did the Kohathites have? Well, think about this. These guys were to be in charge of taking care of the holy things of God. The Ark of the Covenant, the Table of Showbread, the seven-branched oil-burning lamp, and so on. They were responsible for carrying these as the children of Israel were going to move. And then the setup of them as they made camp again. Yeah, they weren't priests, but they had a God-ordained role. And Korah said, "I'm not satisfied with that." And a lot of other people, he got to join in with them. Did Moses place himself in this position as leader of the children of Israel? No, God did. God placed him there. So here the issue really is jealousy, discontentment, And it's not pretty, and it led to rebellion against authority. They didn't like the position that God had given them in serving, and they tried to usurp the position that God gave to Moses and Aaron. So they rebelled against them, and they tried to get the rest of the children of Israel to follow along with them. And people try to do that today. You know, why? Well, when they reject authority and speak evil of those in leadership positions, you end up walking in the rebellion of Korah. And it's interesting, you know, I've seen churches that have split, have divided up, because someone within the church wanted to be a pastor, and so they called people in the church and said, hey, I'm starting a work here, come with me. And they did. And I'm thinking, wow, you know, that's really not how a church starts. You don't divide it like that. But again, that's just rebellion because of the leadership in the church they don't want to submit to. You know, I love the people that want to be pastors but have no clue of what it's about. You know, well, you just come up on a Sunday and Thursday and you teach and you go home. It's a little bit more than that. In between my golf games and stuff, I do have to study. I understand that. But here's the thing. You are dealing with the congregation, and everyone goes through difficult times. And you yourself, as a pastor, go through difficult times. I mean, when my children years ago were in rebellion against God and things were just horrible, I still came up and taught. I didn't miss. Was it heartbreaking? It was. But through it all, God was teaching me. As I was teaching the lessons, he was teaching me to rely on him, to trust in him. You know, today was a very difficult day for me. You know, I love my grandchildren. I think that they are the blessing I received and my wife received for having children is grandchildren. They are just wonderful. And now my little grandchild, he's not little, he's 14, has diabetes. And that's very hard for me. I'd rather take anything. Lord, just do it to me. Don't take it away from him. I already have diabetes. Give me something else. I don't care, because he's my grandchild. But this I know is God always gives me the strength to do what I need to do, no matter how hard it is. And that's what you have to focus on. It's not easy. And usually people that are trying to usurp the position have no idea, and they're usually in it for a short period of time. I've seen it. I tried to warn people that were getting involved with a teacher that basically was kicked out of Calvary in California, went to Illinois, and they didn't really want him there. And so he came up to Wisconsin. Well, thanks a lot. And I said, hey, you know what? Don't follow this guy. Caused a big church split again. It was devastating. And within probably a half a year, he was done and moved on. Well, what about all those people? See, it's not a pastor is a shepherd caring for the sheep that God has entrusted to them. You don't just get up and leave because it's too hard or whatever. But these guys had no idea. They wanted the position. They wanted the title. And they weren't satisfied with what God had given them, which was a huge responsibility. I mean, they didn't even get to come in until and take these articles until they were covered, because, again, they weren't priests. They weren't allowed to. But they still got to move all these things. I'll give you an example, because what happens is these guys start coming against those who come against them. Say, hey, you know, what you're doing is wrong, and they don't like that. You know, false prophets are very much like that. You know, case in point, and again, I don't mean to offend anyone, but Benny Hinn, I don't think is a prophet of God. And so when people come against them, well, this is what he said, and this is from several years back, but listen. You wonderful people of God, quit attacking men of God by name. Somebody's attacking me because of something I'm teaching. Let me tell you something, brother, you watch out. I don't mind if they attack Benny and the way he is and the way he walks, but don't attack this man of God, Paul Crouch. There's a group here in California that thinks they are the judgment seat of Christ. They judge everything you do. Listen here, fellow, let me tell you something. You're not my judge. Jesus is my judge. You walk around with your stiff lip and your collar on your neck. Dear God in heaven, I just wish I could. Oh, they call it a ministry, my foot. You know, I've looked for one verse in the Bible. I just can't seem to find it. One verse that says, if you don't like them, kill them. I really wish I could find it. But there's nowhere in the Bible where it says it. Sometimes I wish God would give me a Holy Ghost machine gun. I'd blow your head off. Okay, well, that's a minister of God, right? I don't know how people listen to that. And when you listen to what he says, you have to wonder, why doesn't anyone hold him accountable, right?
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion, won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.